Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Tonight we are continuing our series on what it means to be in Christ. And we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That word "in" is "en." It's denoting instrumentality, and it means by means of Christ. And we know from Ephesians 2:6 that we are blessed through our position, that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and God quickened us. He made us alive. And He seated us together with Christ in heavenly places. This is the source of our blessing. These heavenly places, the place of our position. We are citizens of the New Jerusalem. In ancient Rome, citizenship had unique and special privileges. They were only afforded to people who were Roman citizens. A lot of people lived in Rome who were not Roman citizens, and they were not afforded all of these privileges. But the citizens had special privileges that other people didn't. This is one of the reasons why Paul made a point of saying, hey, you're flogging me, but I'm a Roman. And the captain was terrified because he realized as a Roman, he carried special status, special privilege. Here, we're being told something very similar to that. Because of our position in Christ, by means of Christ, in heavenly places, we get unique blessings. We have every spiritual blessing that comes to those who are in these heavenly places, the citizens of New Jerusalem. And then it continues, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. To be blessed, that word blessed is eulogeo. It's from the word eu, which means good, and logos, which means word. So literally it's talking about we have a good word. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts that I think of you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hey, Christian, God thinks of thoughts of peace and not of evil of you. God does not think evil of you. Let me say it one more time because there's a whole lot of Christians that do not realize this. They've heard it, but it has never sunken in. God thinks no evil of you personally. He's blessed you. He has good words to say about you. And it means to cause to prosper, along with good words, a good report, to cross, to prosper, to make happy, and to bestow blessings upon. Spiritual blessings there is specifically in contrast with carnal blessings. Blessings that come from the Holy Spirit, from God, not the blessings that you have to earn or make happen yourself. Just as He chose, that is an aorist middle indicative. Aorist means a timeless reality. Indicative means it's a dogmatic reality. But middle voice is interesting here. Just as God chose us, He chose us. Middle voice. That means the subject produces the action of the verb and is also the recipient of its benefit. That means that He chose us with a plan, with a purpose. That means that when He chose us, He was after something. He chose us for a reason. And the reason was not found in our goodness. The reason was not found in ourselves at all. He chose us in Him, that is to say, by His own will, by His own purpose, by His own desires, before, prior to the foundation of the world. Now, this phrase, foundation of the world, is also found in Revelation 13:8. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. In Revelation 13:8, the words from the foundation of the world in the original language literally are saying, the slain Lamb was the laying down of the structural foundation upon which the universe and all that is contained in it was built. We were actually chosen prior. This is the oldest recorded event in human history. We were chosen in Christ prior to the slaying of the Lamb, which served as the structural foundation for the building of the universe, which includes all of space and all of time and those events and things that populate them. We were chosen prior to that. That also necessarily means that we have enormous purpose, enormous significance, because in order to make this happen, God had to create a universe, the structural foundation of which was the cross and the blood of Christ. This gives us incredible significance. This slain Lamb, in whom we were. Remember in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, at the cross we became one new man with Him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, because we were His body, in 1 Corinthians 12:27, on the cross. This slaying of the Lamb is the foundation both of our unity with Him and for our position before Him because of the blood of Christ. Our purpose, our significance before God, is the only significance that exists, is immeasurable. Because the entire plan of the ages took place due to this one reality. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places by means of Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, hence the effect of the blood. The phrase without blame is eimomos in the original language. It means without blemish. Before Him in our position in love. We were chosen in Him. Therefore, we were chosen in love because this reality was the cause of the entire existence of time, of the universe, of all of creation. This gives us incredible significance, incredible purpose. There are believers who do not realize that they have significance. There are believers that do not realize that they have purpose. Lawrence Crabb, a well-known, highly acclaimed Christian psychologist, says that everyone needs these two things, love and significance. And the absence of one of these, whether it's a genuine absence or a perceived one, the absence of it in our own estimation is the source of many of our problems psychologically and otherwise. Everyone needs love, everyone needs significance. However, many people, including many believers, do not know where to find love and significance. They'll turn to the worldly things. They'll turn to a job. I have this high-profile job with a great deal of responsibility. I have a lot of significance in the world, they may say. Or, on the other side of that, I don't have much of a job. I'm not really a high-profile person. I'm just kind of an average guy, and I don't really do anything spectacular. I have really very little significance. And people will look for these things because they need them. They will look for love. They will look for significance. It's no secret that one of the major reasons for the morality problems that nations experience is because people, particularly young people, but older ones also, are constantly looking for love. They don't know where to find it. They are constantly looking for significance. They don't know where to find it. A lot of approbation comes from this. Approbation lust is really all about finding significance. And if I don't possess these things and it binds itself to my self-image, then it can cause really some pretty significant psychological issues. You have to know where love and significance are found. They are not found in the world. They're not found in your relationships. Oh, what do you mean I can't find love and significance in my relationships? Isn't that what they're all about? No, actually it isn't. Relationships were created for people to reflect the love of God. Relationships were not created to be a substitute source for the love of God. They are there to reflect the heart of God. They are not there to be a substitute source for the heart of God. If I look for these things from my friends, then I will quickly alienate myself from my friends, because I will become upset with them since they are unable, I will say unwilling, because I assign these things to them, but they are unable to provide me with those things that only God can provide. Only in Christ can you find love that is real and significance that is genuine. Only in Christ do these things exist. Only in Christ can they be found. People say, nobody loves me. That is a demonic lie. How can you say the God who is love does not love you? Well, I mean nobody personal, nobody practical. Well, you don't believe in God then. Because the only God that exists is a personal, practical God. So personal that He actually indwells you the moment you believe. Or that is to say, do you believe? Maybe you don't. But God says this is how it works. Your love and your significance is not from your circumstances. It's not from your job. It's not from your friends. It's not from your wife. It's not from your husband. It's not from your children. It's not from your parents. It has one source only. If you look in any other source, you will be frustrated. It has one source only, and that is in Christ. There is your love, there is your significance. In 2 Timothy 1:9, God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to the word is kata in the original language, so not sourced in our own works, but according to sourced, kata again, in his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Why was it given to us before time began? Because he chose us in Christ before the structural foundation of the world was laid. Before Christ went to the cross, and I'm not talking about 2,000 years ago, I'm talking about as the foundation for the building of time and space and all things and events that populate them. So, God had purpose for you, and God had grace for you before time began, in Christ, in Christ. By the way, you have no life whatsoever, no matter how hard you try to find it, outside of Christ. Now, you will say, well, there's a lot of unsaved people. Do they not have a life? No, they don't. They are dead in trespasses and sins, number one. Number two, in Matthew 7:23, unless they are saved, Jesus does not ever know them. He knows all things. He doesn't know them. And the reason is, because in Romans 14:23, since their entire life was characterized by unbelief toward Christ, being unsaved, the blood of Christ in 1 John 1:7 cleanses them from all sin. In Psalm 103:12, it cleanses the sin from time. And if at no time in their life they ever had a moment of faith toward Christ, their entire lifetime was eliminated from time by the blood of Christ because it simply constituted nothing more than sin. So no, the unsaved don't have a life. They're dead in trespasses and sins. Grace is the expression of his loving kindness in Jeremiah 31:3, in Ephesians 2:7, and 1 Corinthians 13:4. Grace is the expression of his loving kindness. His purpose is the assignment of the highest significance that exists. That's why I say only in Christ can you find significance. Only in Christ can you find love. Because grace is the expression of his loving kindness. That is a special quality unique to God's love. The only true love, agape, that is real love. Not affection, not like, but love. Not fondness, but love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, love. Only in Christ can you find love. That's the first thing you need. Only in Christ can you find significance. The fact that there is a purpose assigned to you specifically in Christ before the world began, before the Lamb was slain, he was slain on your behalf, means that you have the highest significance that God can create. You have all the significance because you are in Christ that Christ possesses. So these people who cry, I have no significance, you are looking in the wrong place, dear. You have no idea where to find significance. You are looking in the wrong place. Well, this is what happens, and if God loved me, he would answer my prayer. Oh, you have no clue. If God loved me, he'd let me stay a little child. He never forced me to grow up. He never forced me to mature. He never forced me to become a believer who can stand with Him if He loved me. I don't have any significance because nobody takes me seriously. You mean you're going to try to find your significance in people? How do you do that? Where does it come from? How do they provide you with that? What magic can they conjure up to give it to you? It only comes in Christ. He is the only source, and He is a source that is highly willing and unfortunately highly underutilized by Christians even to find love and significance. Those are found in our oneness with Christ through Christ. Ephesians 2:15 and 16. There's a lot of believers. Some of them are listening on the internet, who have been looking for these two things, and they're very frustrated. Sometimes they want to quit. They're depressed, disappointed, have all kinds of problems, have all kinds of relationship problems, friendship problems, because they're looking for love and significance, and they have absolutely no clue where to find them, even though they are believers. And they're looking for people and circumstances to satisfy them when people and circumstances were not created to satisfy them. That, my dear, is idolatry. In Romans 8:29, whom He foreknew, He also predestinated. That means that He appointed them ahead of time, before the foundation of the world. That's what we were just told in those two passages, before the foundation of the world. We were appointed ahead of time, before the foundation of the world, to be conformed to the image of His Son. You could paraphrase that and say to be conformed to the highest significance through the highest purpose, by the highest love, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, whom He appointed ahead of time before the foundation of the world, these He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. Whom He justified, He also glorified. That is to say, conforms them to the image of His Son. We were appointed before we were alive. We were appointed before the world existed. We were appointed before time existed. This was the whole purpose of the structural foundation of the slain Lamb. We were appointed to be made into the practical expression of who Christ is. Therefore, we have all the significance of Christ. So God created a plan to bring us into that expression of Christ. When Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose, you cannot forget verse 29 and 30. All things work together for good to bring me into the practical manifestation and expression of all that Christ is, with His heart, with His purpose, with His significance, with His mind, with everything that He is. And you're saying you don't have any significance and you're a Christian? What are you talking about? Do you know what significance means? Oh, you're trying to find your significance in the temporal. Well, I've got news for you. There is none there. The temporal will have the significance of dust. But maybe that's what you're looking for. But that's what you get if you look for it in the temporal. Don't be surprised if there are things that only God can provide. When you look to find them in other sources, you can't find them. Don't be surprised when joy comes in the presence of God and you look to other sources, you look to your circumstances, you look to people, you look to your relationships for joy, and you can't find it. Well, no kidding, genius. They're only found in Christ. No kidding, you can't find joy. It's only found in Christ, in the presence of God. No kidding, you can't find it. Oh, I can't find it. I'm so upset. I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to do. Try believing the Word of God. That would be miraculous, wouldn't it? But you know, that's how Christians often are. We claim the Word of God. We say we love the Word of God. We say we love God. We say we're saved. But man, can you believe how many believers just don't believe? But they'll call themselves believers. Your love and your significance is found in Christ. Your joy is found in Christ. Your contentment is found in Christ. Oh, but I want my contentment to come from my job. Well, you know what? You don't define reality. God defines reality. God defines truth. You don't define truth. Oh, but I want it from this person. I want it from this situation. I want it from having so much money. I want it from where I live. Well, good luck with that. It's not there. You'll never find it, but good luck with that. Hopefully it'll break you down enough to finally humble you to turn to Christ. How many people get divorced because they look to the other person for what only Christ can provide? And then they will blame the other person. Don't blame yourself either. Because only Christ can provide contentment, satisfaction, love, significance. Only Christ can provide those things. That's why everybody has to have an individual, daily, ongoing relationship that is active and living with Christ. Well, you know, I haven't been on my game lately. Well, then get on your game and stop backsliding. Start taking God seriously and stop taking your flesh seriously. That's how it works with God. Better to hear it from me than to hear it from God later. Because right now you can do something about it. In Genesis 3:7, then the eyes of both of them were opened. This is after Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They hid from God. They tried to cover themselves. They became afraid. The next few verses tell us all this. Because they were self-oriented. In self-orientation, they lost their sense of love and they lost their sense of significance. Because they chose against their purpose and the one who is love, who gave them that purpose. And so they started to hide. In reality, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, they were to walk by faith, not by sight. They were to believe what God told them, not believe the appearance of their surroundings or their circumstances or what people told them. But when they started to become self-oriented, they started to look inwardly, they lost the upward relationship. In reality, you can only look in one direction at a time. You will either look at Christ or you will look at yourself. You may say you're looking at somebody else. If you're looking horizontally, then you're looking at yourself and using self as a standard, as a filter for your interactions with other people. It's still looking at yourself. You cannot actually see anyone as they are by looking at yourself. In 2 Corinthians 5:16, we know no man after the flesh. And that does not mean after their flesh. Think about it, or at least look it up. It means after your own flesh. You don't utilize your own old sin nature in your relationship, in your evaluation, in your analysis, in your consideration of somebody else. You don't use your own old sin nature. That's where the Galatians 5:17-21 problems come in. You either look at Christ or you don't look at Christ. But where you're looking is where your source is going to be. That's why when God told Moses to make the brazen serpent and put it on a pole, everyone who looked at that serpent lived, and everyone who didn't, after they were bit by poisonous snakes, would die simply because they looked in the wrong place. It's not at all trivial. It is everything. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. Don't ever say to yourself, well, this is what I'm like and this is my condition. These are my circumstances. This is how people have been regarding me. And this means what? And some people will say, well, this means that I'm loved or not loved. And the other people will say, this means that I'm significant or not significant. In both cases, they are completely incorrect. Significance and love are not found there. They are found in Christ. You have to develop that. They are found in Christ. Nobody can develop that for you. Your pastor cannot develop it for you. Your friends cannot develop that for you. People in church cannot develop that for you. Your spouse cannot develop that for you. Your parents cannot develop it for you. Your children cannot develop for you. Nobody can develop it for you. You have to have a relationship yourself that is living and active with Christ. In Philippians 4:13, I have strength for all things in Christ, the one who strengthens me. I just don't know what I can do anymore. I can't handle all this anymore. Well, I have strength for all things in Christ who strengthens me. This is your source for strength in all things. In Christ, I find my source and my ability for everything. Simple. If you lack strength, then get your relationship with God right. Simple. But I go to church and I read my Bible. But do you believe it? In John 15:5, Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Now, if you park there for a while, you can stay there for quite some time. He's the source of life, we produce the fruit. We can put it very simply in those terms. He's the source of life, we produce the fruit. He's the source of nourishment, we produce the fruit. He who abides in me, that is to say, in the love of God, and I in him, that is to say, the word of God, in John 15:7, it makes it clear, that's talking about the word of God abiding in us. That's the person who bears much fruit. Now, in Galatians 5:22 and 23, The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, yes, but then it has various different expressions. Things like gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, self-control. These wonderful aspects and elements of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that would edify the one who possesses them beyond measure. And it comes by abiding in the love of God and having the Word of God abide in you. Now, Christian, since you are listening, I have a question for you. Are you actively on a daily basis abiding in the love of God? Jude 21 says we look for mercy. Therefore, you are looking for ways to implement the mercy of God, which in 1 Corinthians 13:4 is most practically expressed as patience. Toward yourself, toward others. Doesn't matter who it's toward. And are you actively maintaining a living, vibrant relationship with the Word of God? Because if you are, you will have wonderful fruits. And if you are not, Jesus continues to say there, for this reason, by means of whatever you want to say there, for without me, you can do nothing. Not one thing. Nothing. People say, I don't have a supply. I'm just running on empty. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. Well, then keep yourself in the love of God and keep the Word of God resident in you. Do you have a living relationship with the love of God? Do you, not other people, not the source, not circumstances, not the source, not your job, not your friends, not your spouse, not your kids, your parents, whoever, not the source. Christ. In Christ. That's the source. Without it, you're not going to have a supply. Therefore, without it, I don't care what you're trying to do, you're not going to accomplish anything. You can do nothing. I can't handle this relationship. Of course not. How could you without Christ? No kidding, genius. How can you do anything without Christ? Without me, you can do nothing. Oh, I can't do this. Do you have a relationship with the Word of God? Nee, not really. Then no wonder. What did you expect? You thought God was kidding? Without me, you can do nothing. Just joking. I don't see that in there. Without being experientially in Christ, I will be incapacitated for anything. In 1 John 4:16, He is love. In John 14:6, He is truth. In John 17:17, the Word is truth. In John 1:14, Christ is the Word. If I have a living relationship with His Word, then I have an experiential relationship with Him. And I am equipped for anything. And if I don't have a relationship with His Word, then I do not have an experiential relationship with Him, and I am equipped for nothing. Sometimes you hear people say, oh, pastors like you, oh, just get the Word, just get the Word. Yeah, it'll all fix if you just get the Word. Yeah, just get Christ. How trite, isn't it? Christ can do anything for you. How trite. Why don't you get right with God? He alone, get this, He alone is the source of my love, and He alone is the source of my significance. So I draw near to His Word, and I keep myself in the love of God in order to experience His love and His significance in me. that's where it's found. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."